Radio Zoveel. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store en App Store. RRI Digital.
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today. Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Prabowo Subianto has ordered the acceleration of oil refinery construction and the licensing of community-run oil wells across Indonesia, a minister said on Sunday. Article 33 mandates that Indonesia's economy be based on collective efforts, with the state controlling vital product sectors and natural resources for the greatest prosperity of the people. Lahad Alia said he reported to the president that he had visited several sites in South Sumatra, including Musi Banyuasin, which has around 22,000 community-run oil wells. And the next news. 15 regional general hospitals in Indonesia's underdeveloped regions have been upgraded and are ready to operate, a senior health official announced on Sunday. He said the upgraded hospitals reflects the government's commitment to strengthening healthcare services in remote border and island areas. Each hospital will be staffed with at least 7 specialists in internal medicine, pediatrics, surgery, obstetrics and geosonology, anesthesiology, clinical pathology and radiology. Jaya said the deployment of special personnel will be carried out in stages, including through overseas educations and training programs. And that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, viewer listener and RRInet viewers, welcome back to Indonesia Today with your host Ray, where I'll be accompanying you for the next 1 hour, providing you with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia and to the world. And viewer listener, don't forget that you can always tune in to our online streaming in voanews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, also our application in RRA Digital for those of you who are watching on demand. And so, without any further ado, viewer listener, let's begin today's broadcast with a song from Petra Sihombing with Canggih, only on Voice of Indonesia. We'll be right back.
sini-sini nih begitu tangguh, mustahil terkejar. Meski sudah maksimal 1000 langkah kakiku, berhenti sejenak, beri-beri tubuhmu pesona. Hidup memang harus canggih, tapi pastikan kau yang pegang kendali. Perhatikan nafasmu, degup irama mewah tersyajur. Beri-beri tubuhmu pesona, sebagaimana yang semestinya. Tersita waktu di layar, tersibuk berselancar. Jeda dulu reda, boleh juga lewat, tak apa penting, tak harus robotik, kau sudah jadi, yeah. Hidup memang harus canggih, tapi pastikan kau yang pegang kendali. Perhatikan nafasmu, degup irama mewah tersyadu. Beri-beri tubuhmu pesona, sebagaimana yang semestinya. Beri-beri tubuhmu pesona, sebagaimana yang semestinya. Hidup memang harus canggih, tapi pastikan kau yang pegang kendali. Perhatikan nafasmu, degup irama mewah tersyadu. Beri-beri tubuhmu pesona, sebagaimana yang semestinya. Beri-beri tubuhmu pesona, sebagaimana yang semestinya. Thank you.
Indonesia. EORD.
Tapi mau bilang apa sama Ludi?
The best husband ever. Disuruh milih pun aku pasti akan balik ke dia lagi sih. Aku suka lupa untuk perasaan suami sendiri ya, kayak gimana untuk perasaan apa suami itu ternyata juga sedih, cuman aku selalu ngarepin dia untuk kuatin aku. Mungkin ternyata dia juga butuh sebenarnya dikuatin.
Haruskah ku berubah demi cinta agar mereka mau menerima ketidakbiasaan yang terjalin antara kita berdua? Haruskah ku memendam semua rasa? Haruskah ku memenjarakan asa? Cinta kita tak seperti apa yang mereka mengerti. Mungkin berat tapi ku tahu apa yang kita jalani. Sulit mereka pahami, namun ku yakin ada jalan untuk kita. Cinta sepenuh hati, meski seakan aku dan kamu melawan dunia.
Lalu mengapa bila memang kita berbeda? Bukan berarti harapan tak akan ada. Hanya karena cinta kita tak seperti apa yang mereka mengerti. Mungkin berat tapi ku tahu apa yang kita jalani. Sulit mereka pahami, namun ku
justru mau mematahkan apa kata dokter maupun apa kata literatur yang sudah mengatakan bahwa 3-13 itu pasti umurnya tidak banyak. Kita mau mematahkan statement itu. Kita pengen ngasih yang terbaik untuk Adam dari hal medis maupun dari rasa kasih sayang. Itu benar-benar kita lakukan dengan sepenuh hati, dan tentunya juga perjuangan juga bentuk cinta sih, bahwa kita yakin bahwa Adam bisa sembuh. Walaupun belum ada obat untuk penyakitnya, cuma kita harus yakin bahwa kondisinya pasti akan membaik.
Ku tahu apa yang kita jalani.
Sulit mereka pahami, namun ku yakin ada jalan. Meskipun seberapa
Voice of Indonesia.
Dreaming, don't stop dreaming. Said things could be worse, well things can always get better. Said I need to stop trying, stop trying, don't stop trying.
Samudra terpenting tanpa peristiwa, situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetap bersama.
Indonesia.
Hello, Voi listener, and still here with me, Ray, in Indonesia today. And right now, we are going to talk about something really interesting today. And of course, as you know, today is a remarkable moment for Indonesia's cultural history. The returning of Indonesia's lost artifacts. And thousands of priceless artifacts are said to come home from the Netherlands back to Indonesia and making an important step in reclaiming our national heritage. And to explore more about this topic, we're joined by two distinguished guests from Indonesia, of course. First is Ajeng Ayu Arenikasi, Bihum and Arts Lecturer from the Departments of Archaeology, University of Indonesia. And also we have Bapak Abi Kusno, the Head of Museums and Cultural Heritage and the Ministry of Culture. Hello, how are you today?
Hello.
Okay, so without any further ado, today we're going to talk about some artifacts in Indonesia and maybe some history and preparation for Indonesia's arrival of the artifacts back to Indonesia. So first, I would like to ask Pak Abi first, as the museum and preservation perspective, Indonesia is set to receive thousands and thousands of artifacts from the Netherlands. And how well prepared are Indonesia Museum to, in terms of facilities, infrastructure, and preservation of the museum itself to accommodate these valuable items? Hello, Abi, can you...
Yeah, hello. Well, right now, actually, we started to prepare the returning of the artifact from the Netherlands. But actually, it's already been started several years ago, not only from the Netherlands, but we received also collection from Australia. And right now, we're preparing the storage. Include with all of the shelf, all the drawer, and everything that related to preservation of the collection and the security of the collection. So, by the from the ministry also, from the Minister of Culture, Papa Dlizon also direct us to reinventarization of the collection, especially in. From the National Museum of Indonesia, Museum Nasional, and hopefully by the time the especially for the 28,000 collection, Dubois collection from the Netherlands, we already prepare. We can storage all the collection by the start of the next year in 2026, hopefully.
Okay, and now for Bu Ajeng, maybe I would like to ask you, from a historical perspective, as you see, how significant is the return of the collection back to Indonesia and from the Netherlands for the nation's archaeology and cultural identity, since we sometime in the past few years didn't have it, now we have it back?
It is very significant because historically, our Minister of Education in the 50s, Muhammad Yamin, was already asked for that, and some objects were already returned home since the 70s. But these days, it is the largest of collections that's coming back. So this is very significant for Indonesian cultural heritage and history.
Okay. Now, since it is really significant, could you tell us more about the types of artifacts being repatriated and what aspects of Indonesia history or civilization that they represent, Bu Ajeng?
Okay, back in the colonial era, there's an era of colonial collecting. So everyone is collecting collections, ethnographical collections, antiquities, archaeological collections, and everyone from the colonial governors, to missionaries, to just people like the rich people, and then the collections came abroad, and so that's what's returned to us these days are the statues from the Hindu Buddhist periods, or some paintings from Bali, the Pitamaha collections, and we'll be welcoming the fossils of Pithecanthropus erectus, Homo erectus, we call it now, and also some regalia of our national heroes. So that's the collection, that's what's returned home. But I hope also we can also collect back or receive back ethnographical collections that is also important, that already lost and there's no available anymore in Indonesia at the moment. So, but we are rarely do that, right?
Okay. Now, from what Bu Ajeng mentioned, for Pak Abi, I would like to ask you, since there are many collections coming back to Indonesia, what are the most complex collection from Indonesia that is quite hard to maintain, and what specific steps that Indonesia museums are being taken to make sure the security of the artifacts itself, or maybe the lost items from Indonesia?
Each collection has different methods to preserve or to store in the storage room. So we talk about the difficulty. They all have a different kind of methods. So right now, what we are doing to prepare all of these collection, not only the one that we going to repatriate, but also the one that we kept in museum. We maintain the microclimate of the collection, how the temperate, the humid of the room, and also the security with all the CCTV alarm and everything that related to the secure of the collection. So the revitalization of the Museum Nasional is, well, we not only prepare the exhibition, but we also prepare the backbone of the museum, including the storage. So the difficulty is quite different but similar. So each collection have its own method and difficulties. So, but we are preparing all of the equipment, the storage room, and also the human resources. This is the most difficult part, besides of the equipment, the human resources, how they can manage all of this preservation thing. It's ongoing preparing in the museum and cultural property.
Okay, so how long does the process usually take, since from the moment these artifacts arrive to when they are ready for public display? Since what I know is in displaying it to the public needs a certain steps for the museum to take before it is going to be displayed. How long does it usually take?
Well, it depends, but it all begin with the diplomacy part. So this is the part of the Director General of Diplomacy and also cooperation under the Ministry of Culture. It's already ongoing, and if we talk about how long do we prepare for the exhibition, we already started now. So the prehistory exhibition in the Museum Nasional, it's going to be revitalized. So right now we're in the middle of remaking the storyline of the early civilization. So by the time the Dubua collection, especially the Homo erectus or Pithecanthropus Dubua collection, arrive hopefully within the end of this year. It's already we can already the public can enjoy the exhibition by the end of this year, hopefully in the new exhibition early civilization part.
Okay, since the museum is near my office in okay. the Republic of Indonesia, I can't wait for me to check out the new collection of the lost artifacts of Indonesia. And for Bu Ajeng, I would like to ask you, once back in Indonesia, how do you think these artifacts should be preserved and maybe presented to the public, especially from the educational point of view, since it can be a new learning material maybe for the Indonesian education itself, especially the younger generation, that so that they can appreciate history to the fullest?
Okay, I believe that we need to have a little bit different approach to do that, especially for younger generations, probably with more gamifications. So having an exhibition is a must, of course, but it is not only telling you about that's what's returned from the Netherlands, but what's the importance of the objects, what's the stories, what's the colonial violence that told in that objects, the oppressions, the injustice. We need to tell it from our perspective first, and then for the children, we can also make it like a gameplay or like a trivia or treasure hunt games, so we can having fun in the museums while learning history. So it's not a passive exhibition seeing only the objects and reading the labels, but yeah, more five sense experience, more inclusive and interactive approaches. It's a must, I think.
Okay, so I would like to ask the both of you, like, maybe is there in the future like a collaboration between the Museum of Indonesia, especially with the education of Indonesia, speaking especially from the Ibu Ajeng specialties, that is the Department of Archaeology and Learning between the Indonesia and museum itself, is there like a collaboration in the future that maybe when the artifacts are ready to be displayed, is there the museum have the opportunity to give the students about the study tour to learn and see for the first time itself as the first few when it are being displayed?
I would love to. We used to have collaborations with the national museums, both from Universitas Indonesia or from my consultations firm, like Museum Ceria. We are playing with the children in the museums, and from with the Universitas Indonesia, we also used to have collaborations for the people with disabilities to visit the museums. But it is more about a permanent exhibition, so. Probably for the next step, we are open to collaborate for the temporary exhibitions as well.
Okay, so from Abi, maybe is what kind of cooperation that maybe you think that is best?
Well, now we're the Ministry of Culture, actually the culture is handled by its own ministry right now. Before we are join with the education or before with tourism ministry. So, but the cooperation is still going on. Now, we are very open, especially in the Museum in Cagar Budaya or Indonesian Heritage Agency, we call it in English. We're very open. We cooperate with every kind of institution or private or community or even other ministries. So we aware that we cannot do this alone, so we need to cooperate with many entity. So yeah, because the public awareness is a very important part how to increase their awareness that the Indonesian culture is very rich. And because Pak Menteri, Pak Fadlizon, it's delivered in each his speech, he always said that Indonesia is a mega diversity. So this is what we have to tell the public, that the richness of Indonesian culture is very, very mega.
Okay, now finally for final question for Pak Abi. What are your hopes for the returns of these artifacts will mean to Indonesia and its cultural heritage?
Yeah, besides the public awareness that we want to increase, so the public can preserve also their culture, not only the tangible but also the intangible of culture, that they have to aware that Indonesia is a very big and very mega diversity. So besides that, the repatriation or the return of the collection of culture of Indonesia can complete the narrative of Indonesian and mega diversity. This is what we hope for from return of the collection from Netherlands and other country, of course, not only Netherlands, but after this, maybe we. This is an ongoing diplomacy also with the Germany and also with the British and India, that the narrative or the lack of collection that we're trying to deliver to the public can be very complete and very show that the mega diversity of culture in Indonesia is quite big, and it's become our soft diplomacy to another country.
Okay, and now for Bu Ajeng. In your view, what does this repatriation symbolize for Indonesia's national identity and its role in cultural diplomacy going forward?
This is important because at the moment in the world, museums in the world is doing decolonizations of the museums. They are undoing the colonial works of every single parts in the museums. So repatriation is part of the colonizations of the museums. So by repatriating the collections, we are part of decolonizing our history, our colonial history. We are equal with the Netherlands. We are undoing the injustice of colonial past. But it's not only stops in the repatriations, but we have to decolonizing the knowledge making of the objects returned. So that's important, very important for us at the moment.
Okay, thank you so much Bu Ajeng and Pak Abi for joining me in this special interview in Voice of Indonesia VRI Talk today, and talking about the returning of Indonesia's lost artifact. And the return of these treasures is not only a milestone, but also a reminder of how important it is to preserve and appreciate, also celebrate the history of Indonesia, to learn more about the history of Indonesia. And thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in this special interview today in VRI Talk. Thank you so much for coming, and don't forget to always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, where you can always enjoy special interviews like this. Only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Thank you.
hampir kita selalu kecuali tiap kau jatuh hati kali ini hampir habis dayaku membuktikan padamu ada cinta yang nyata setia hadir setiap hari tak tega biarkan kau sendiri meski seringkali kau malah asyik sendiri karena kau tak lihat terkadang malaikat tak bersayap tak cemerlang tak rupawan namun kasih ini silakan kau adu malaikat juga tahu siapa yang jadi juaranya. Hampamu takkan hilang semuanya oleh pacar impian tetapi kesempatan untukku yang mungkin tak sempurna tapi siap untuk diuji ku percaya diri cintaku lah yang sejati namun tak kulihat terkadang malaikat tak bersayap tak cemerlang tak rupawan namun kasih ini silakan kau adu malaikat juga tahu siapa yang jadi juaranya. Oh, kau selalu meminta terus ku temani kau selalu berjanda andai wajahku diganti relakan ku pergi karena tak sanggup sendiri. Sayap tak cemerlang tak rupawan namun kasih ini silakan kau adu malaikat juga tahu.
RRA Digital with Mueller. Programa en español.
Programs for Kenyan countries of Indonesia.
RRA Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRA Digital.
Thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in this 1 hour broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will continue providing you with lots of information and entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And for a listener, don't forget to send your messages through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in voilisteners@gmail.com and also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Ryan. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Gorontalo, a province which was established in 2000, is known as the Hidden Paradise. It is in the Hidden Heaven that Kampung Torosiaje or Torosiaje Village is found, where Bajo tribe lives. After 8 hours of journey from the city of Gorontalo, we arrive in Torosiaje Pier. We continue our journey by boat to Torosiaje Village, which lies on Tomini Bay. The boat passes through under wooden corridor and people's houses. We then cross through corridors in the form of wooden bridge connecting stilt houses, which are arranged like the letter U. Zenonte, community figure of Torosiaje Village, explain how to build a stilt house on the water.
Cara bangun rumah ini gotong royong juga. Tetap gotong royong, panggil teman-teman untuk membangun rumah. Tapi dasar
we built the house together, calling friends to build the houses. But basically, the house making begins with pole. We used to use mangrove wood. Even the land was full of houses, but now it is prohibited. Now people use mountain wood. It even can last for 20 years.
Since its first coming to Torosiaje in 1901, Bajo tribe has always been living on the water, as stated by the head of hamlet in Torosiaje, Akbar Arsyad.
Kalau menurut dari orang-orang tua, katanya orang Bajo ini dikenal dengan istilah pelaut. Jadi orang tua itu dulu masih ada yang ingat.
Elder people said that Bajo tribe is known as a sailor. So they still remember that in 1901, the tribe entered the village. There was no house in this Torosiaje village until that time, because Bajo people are known to live on boat. We called it living in Lepa. Later, in 1930s, 7 buildings were built, but the village was not definitive yet. In 60s, it became a definitive village.
Head of custom, Sandre, revealed the history of this village.
Kalau desa kami ini awalnya sejak tahun 1901. Jadi
our village has been established since 1901. It is called Torosiaje, as it derives from the word siaje, which is the name of the first inhabitant, while Toro in Bajo language means cape. So Siaji refers to the first inhabitant who is from Bone. It all began in 1901. In the Japanese colonial era, in 1943 to 1945, in the Proclamation of Independence, this village has been established. Many Bajo people were already here.
Zenonte, local community figure, explained that the development of Toro Siaje village began in
1982.
Some of the Bajo people moved to the land. In 1982, there was a settlement to bring this village to the land. Some has moved to the land. So Toro Siaje is divided in three: Toro Siaje Induk, Toro Siaje Jaya, and Bumi Bahari. They are all from the same region. They are from this main village, Toro Siaje.
Bajo tribe is a nomadic tribe which is found not only in Toro Siaje, but also in Kalimantan, Nusa Tenggara, Java, and overseas, like the Philippines. Head of Hamlet in Toro Siaje village, Akbar Arshad, told us about the legend behind the spreading of Bajo tribe.
Karena memang alur sejarah dulu itu katanya orang Bajo, ini kan ada kehilangan Putri Papu, istilahnya Putri Raja.
Historically, Bajo people lost Putri Papu or Crown Princess. It made Bajo tribe spread in Veralang. It made Bajo tribe spread in every cross, not only in Gorontalo, but also in Pagimana, Bangkai, Jaya, and even overseas like the Philippines. Throughout the coast, we can find Bajo people because, according to history, they spread to find the princess. Other people said that the king did not allow them to go back home if the people did not find his daughter, this princess. So the tribe lived permanently. Some live in Gorontalo, in Kendari, in Bangkai.
Bajo tribe in Toro Siaje still maintains traditional ritual as revealed by the custom head, Sandre.
Kalau ritualnya adat itu ada 11 macam saya rasa. Karena itu tergantung daripada penyakit. Biasa keteguran dari penghuni lautnya, lain adatnya. Keteguran dari penghuni batu, lain adatnya.
There are 11 kinds of traditional ritual, I guess. It depends on the disease. It is usually warning from the sea inhabitant, the estuary inhabitant. It all causes the disease. If people in our village are sick, but they do not recover yet after seeing the doctor, we have cultural medical treatment. This village has traditional ritual if the villagers are hit by disease like diarrhea, chickenpox, but we do not do it if situation in the village is safe. So this traditional ritual depends on the village safety. Then we have ritual to go to the sea. Before going to sea, we hold traditional ritual for sea inhabitants, invisible inhabitants to avoid backlog, heavy stream, typhoon, big wave, and many more.
Since 2006, the regional government has set Toro Siaje as a tourism village. This traditional ritual can attract tourists to visit Toro Siaje. The development of Toro Siaje as a tourism village also gives positive effect to local people, as said by Ahmad Muhammad, fisherman in Toro Siaje.
Di sini wisata itu kita sudah bagus. Tadinya kan dari desa belum teratur. Sekarang kita sudah jadi para wisata.
Here the tourism is good. It used to be not really organized. Now this village has become tourism village. The government has arranged things. There are also tourism programs that make the village lively. It used to be quiet. The beach was not like this. Once tourism program was unveiled and the government's program ran, public transportation operates well. We no longer use boat to cross from house to house because now we have a bridge. we are free to work anywhere. It's all because the government's program.
Despite various facilities provided like education, health, worship, and electricity in Torosiaja village, people in this village still complains about one thing, which is water, as revealed by Akbar Arsyad as Hamlet Hut in Torosiaja.
Kalau fasilitas yang ada di sini ini, dari segi pendidikan ada, dari kesehatan juga sudah ada. Cuma yang bikin kendala kita di sini ini terus terang.
Facilities in this village are complete from education to health. But to be honest, one thing that still becomes obstacle and makes our life hard is fresh water. Actually, the state tap water company provided water, but it hasn't worked well for 2 years. That's why people pray for the smooth water flow, because it is so uncomfortable, right? Water is an urgent daily need.
Clean water is a daily need which is highly important to support life. As a tribe that has been known to be familiar with water, and they even live underwater, hopefully Bajo tribe in Torosiaja will not find it hard to get fresh water as the source of life anymore.